want to read out of the book of Revelation chapter 2, if you want to turn there with me. Revelation chapter 2. I believe we're living in a time that God has extended His grace. Well, He has since Jesus Christ, but extended a period of time nationally for us to just return to God. And I believe that God always gives opportunity, and God wants people to get close to Him. It's never God's will for people to stray from Him or to become spiritually cold, amen, or lukewarm. But God graciously draws people back and gives people opportunity to repent and return to Him. I'm glad that He does. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent. Old King James has space to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one according to your works. Now I say to you and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not, as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put no other burden on you, but hold fast what you have until I come. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your love, your grace today. I thank you, Lord, that your presence, Lord, is here with us today. And we're such a blessed people, Lord, privileged that you would meet with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the act of your grace. And I pray, Father, that you bless, anoint the ministry of the Word of God today. May it talk to the heart of people, Lord. You know the heart and the life of every person. You know the spiritual need, God, in the soul, in the mind, the heart of every person. And I pray, O God, that you'd minister in a powerful way this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We'll title the sermon this morning, Space to Repent. And we've talked the last several weeks about the ministry of Elijah and his ministry under the wicked king Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. And so we move to the New Testament, and we find similarities in the New Testament, even though Ahab and Jezebel had died many years before this, but yet there's still that spirit that is there, that of idolatry, that even tried to enter into the church in the church age here. Man. And so we find that there's still, God gives this church in Thyatira a space or a time to repent. And because things had entered that church that didn't need to be there, and God was doing a work there in their hearts and allowing them to come back and return to Him. But in our own nation today, in the United States of America, we have the threat today of leadership that has no interest or respect for the gospel of Jesus Christ, no pursuit of God or anything pure or holy. And so we're in a place, God, I'm not here just to tell you how bad it is out there. You know that. But perhaps God in His mercy has granted this generation space to repent in this country that we live in. Time to return to godly principles on which we were founded, and we have drifted so far from that. And as we see in society today, time is growing short for the completion of this church age. Amen. And we're in the church age, called the dispensation of grace by many. And so, but perhaps God has given space for this United States of America to repent, to return to God, to examine our faith, but that time will end one day. And God's more patient than you and I. I'm glad that He is. If He had only my patience or your patience, He'd have run out of patience a long time ago. But God is patient, and God is powerful, and God is mighty. But here Jesus Himself addresses the problems in the church in Thyatira. And the Jezebel in this church is not the same person as in 1 Kings chapter 18, but seems to have too many similarities to be ignored here. And both Jezebel in the Old Testament and Jezebel in the New Testament, both were religious, both are arrogant and boastful, both were promoters of false, destructive teachings. And in the Old Testament, Jezebel and her ancestors, where she came from, they were promoters of the god of Baal, which was worship to many things. And it promoted truly immorality and called immorality a means of worship. That can never be. Those two just can't go together. But here in the church here that we read about, she is a promoter of false and destructive teachings. And they are rejected by God. The church here is not mentioned having any vision for the lost, what a church should have. No message or exhortation to encourage the people of the church here at this church that we read about. And there's no pursuit of holiness in that church. As a matter of fact, they were a church that was just trying to see whatever they could get away with and still be labeled a church. But let me tell you something. Nobody gets by with anything. God sees everything. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. And so there's no need to try to hide anything from God or get by with things that God has said no to in the Word of God. So there's no pursuit of holiness in the church that we read about here. Their interest seems to be self-interest and to promote that which, rather than promoting that which was Christ-centered. There was nothing left that was Christ-centered except for a few faithful here in this church in Thyatira. Okay, but here God gave them, Jesus said, I will give you space to repent. And so there was a grace period in which God had given this particular church that they could repent and return to God and have the power and the glory for which they were founded on. And most churches and most religions or most denominations today were founded upon godly principles, powerful principles. As a matter of fact, if we look at the denominational world, we look at the Baptists and the Methodists, they were founded on such powerful, wonderful preaching. There was such conviction that most Pentecostals couldn't handle it today. Not to mention that our own organization was founded on a very fiery, very powerful, convicting message. But God has extended grace to this church for a period of time. I gave them space to repent. Okay? And this reminded me of something. We all need grace. Amen. And if your inspection sticker goes out on your car, there is a law that's given there that you have at least a 5-day grace period to get it changed before they'll give you a ticket. It used to be that way. It may not be that way now. Space may be gone. Anyway, so a time period in which you could make things right. But God allows here a space to repent for the immorality that was going on in the church here at Thyatira. God gave her time to repent, even wanted her to repent. And God is patient, God is long-suffering, God is kind, yet God is just and God is holy. And we think a lot of times that grace has been turned into something, well, grace of God will cover this or cover that, you know. But let's understand that God is not only a God of grace, God is a God who is holy and pure and just. And God is always going to do what's right. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, it says there, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And so it is a good thing of God that God would call upon people to repent and turn from their wicked ways And surely he meant that for the people here at this church that we read about. Amen. And so God's will is always for people to repent and return to him, not that they so that they would not be judged for their deeds. In 2 Corinthians 7:10 it says, godly sorrow produces repentance not to be repented of, or not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. And we know that when a person is sorry for their sins, God is willing to forgive, and God's mercy and grace extends far beyond what we can imagine. And God's grace has surely been extended to you and I, to me, to you, and far beyond what we think in human terms it should have been. But God is truly gracious, and God extends mercy and space to repent for people. And it says here, godly sorrow produces repentance. For when a person is sorry for their sin, God is willing to restore. God is willing to forgive. God is willing to set them straight. God is willing to pick up and carry them on and continue to keep call them his children and his people and go on with them. And I'm glad that God is gracious like that. Godly sorrow produces repentance not to be regretted. And it says here, but the sorrow of the world produces death. This would refer to people who are sorry they got caught doing what they did, but there's really no desire to turn from that sin and turn to God. But God is very gracious. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, me and you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is a reason, no doubt, that judgment is delayed many times. Because God is not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And you say, well, if the world is so bad, why don't God just completely annihilate everybody and then everything would be the way it ought to be? But yet, you see, God has created mankind, you and I, in his likeness and image. And we have a place in God's heart. Amen. And it doesn't mean that God is never, that God will just take anything and everything. Amen. But it means that God cares about you and I. His creation, created in his likeness and image. And God grants repentance and grants a plan of salvation for you and I. And he granted no plan of salvation for Satan and all of his fallen angels. He didn't grant any place of repentance for them. He didn't grant any plan of salvation that we know of for them. But God has granted a plan of redemption for you and I because he loves mankind. He loves you and I. He loves every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this planet that has an eternal soul dwelling in them. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants this gospel message to go forth and it to be good news to those who cannot help themselves, those that cannot deliver themselves from addictions and bondages of sin that they can't get rid of. But I want to tell you, we have a God in heaven who is almighty, all-powerful, and all-knowing. He can set the vilest sinner and make him free and clean. Hallelujah. If we were to go back, we will, to Elijah in the Old Testament, they had experienced a mighty revival at Mount Carmel. I want to tell you, all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, did their thing, and they put on their worship show, if you could call it that, and worship to their God. And then Elijah comes up and he prays a simple prayer. God, please show these people your God. And we know that when he prayed, the fire fell from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifice there, licked up all the water that was in the trench. Couldn't be anything fake or phony about this. This was God. And the people cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And God, the blessings began to come back to Israel. It began to rain on their crops. Whereas it had been 3.5 years of drought. The crops were growing again. Famine was ending. Curses of disobedience were disappearing. Amen. Things had begun to go good. God had showed himself gracious and even giving Ahab and Jezebel the opportunity or space to repent and to forsake Baal worship and turn to the one true God, which they refused to do, and eventually they would pay with their lives. But this shows us that God desires all to repent instead of perish. Man. Back to New Testament. Jezebel in the church here, she was allowed to teach false things in the church. She called herself, a prophetess. And you know, the word prophet is used too loosely, in my opinion, in the church world today. I believe God can use people and God uses them in a prophetic ministry. But if we measure it by what the Bible says, if what they prophesy comes to pass, they're a true prophet. If it doesn't, they're a false prophet. So we need to be very careful about using that prophet word. I do believe God does use people today in a prophetic ministry. He does. Not in predicting the future necessarily, not in any, not equal with Old Testament prophets, but God does use that gift today. However, she called herself a prophetess, but what she was prophesying wasn't good, because she taught people and seduced people to commit immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. She was an idolater, Old Testament, yes, but she was an idolater in New Testament, because she was an idolater with the sin of immorality as her God. And she was teaching this in the church. I mean, they'd put her an adult Sunday school teacher. And she was teaching people whatever she wanted to teach. Amen. Don't read me any wrong way. There's nothing wrong. I'm trying to hint to anybody here. We got good adult Sunday school teachers. Good. Praise the Lord. No Jezebel's here. Praise the Lord. But she was teaching people, and she didn't have any business being a teacher to start with, because she was an idolater and she was immoral. But she wanted to teach that everything was okay, just don't go too far. And so all today in our church world, all types of false doctrines have run through the church world, teaching that allow and even encourage immoral things. I'm talking about in the church world. I remember a few years ago, Dave Wilkerson, while he was still alive here, I run great respect to Dave Wilkerson. And he never called himself that, but he was a true prophet of God, if there was one in the New Testament. But he told about a church, a large church, a big church. This is not just a fairy tale. This really was true. They were encouraging dancing in the church. And I'm not talking about getting happy and running around the church or dancing in the spirit. I'm not talking about that. But he taught that all people should get out in the aisle during the song service and dance with partners. And the one rule was in this church, that the partner had to be somebody besides your companion, your wife. And needless to say, the divorce remarriage rate went sky high in that church, if it really was a church to start with. My friend, God is not into immorality. God is into faithfulness to Him and to His institution of marriage. Praise God. God wants us to be faithful to Him. But that's how warped things can be when we begin to look at a human wisdom to try to solve spiritual problems. It takes God to solve spiritual problems. We need to get back to God, get back to the cross. Let me ask you something. What happened to Galatians 2:20 where it says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. God didn't say pet the flesh or see what you can get by with. God said crucify the flesh. Get rid of it. Put an end to it. The flesh is simply the sinful nature of mankind that has to be taken down. But here God gave space to repent. Amen. And I believe in our own country there's a window of opportunity for you and I. We see what corrupt leadership awaits if we do not turn to God. I don't think we have to expound on that. I don't have to get up here and preach a political message at all. But I think we can see what awaits if our nation doesn't turn to God. The leadership that America is wanting, or many people in America are wanting, is not good. It's corrupt. A corrupt, immoral beast of unrestrained sin awaits. A chance to attack and destroy all God-fearing pursuits in this nation. And this beast, I'll call it that, aims at attacking all educational facilities in our country, all schools, all colleges, all political offices, and not left out the church. And so we see there here is a window of opportunity. None of us have to yield to that. None of us have to yield to the ungodly ways that are promoted in our society. We make a choice of how we live. We make a choice to follow God no matter what. But these things are attacking our nation, are attacking our children, and they want to destroy this generation. But there is a God who is more powerful, more gracious, more kind, has more authority than anyone in this earth. He's a creator. And today, thank God for Franklin Graham that has called today a day of prayer for President Trump and the leaders of the U.S. We need prayer. And we think of that a lot of times, that, oh yeah, let's pray for the president. God bless the president. God bless all, you know. But we need to do more than that. We need to get earnest in prayer. You know, like, God, I pray that you would bore into the very core of our president, the Congress, and Senate, where they can't sleep at night until they make things right with God. I mean, get in there and pray for them. Not just a God bless me prayer. Amen. And that's what they need. I'm glad for somebody prays for me like that. I want God to get down here and to hit where it hurts. Amen. If that's what I need, then that's what I need. Praise the Lord. God can help us. And so pray for the U.S. And if we'll turn to God completely, we cannot continue to exist without God. We can't be great again without God. But with God, we can be great again. The nation can be. And we can't remain free without God. Our nation is built upon the choice of freedom. Our soldiers have fought and died for the freedoms that we enjoy today. Praise God. But I want to tell you, in the eyes of God, there is every reason for God, according to His Word, to judge our nation. Immorality abounds, murder, amen, shedding of innocent blood, theft, breaking all the Ten Commandments at will as if nothing is wrong. God will not put up with this forever. God will judge eventually. And the only reason the church won't be judged is because our sins have been judged at the cross. And we're cleaned by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. How we need a revival in our country. We find here this message to the church, verse 24. Let's look at it. Now I say to you and to the rest who are in this Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put no other burden on you. Hold fast what you have till I come. And so the message of the church is hold fast, remain, keep on living the life. Keep on standing for what you're standing for, if you're standing for the truth. Amen. Don't compromise. Don't try to figure out another way. Don't change churches just because somebody else's message is a little less cutting than mine or theirs. Amen. It's not in my notes. But you know, I want somebody to preach to me that can offend me very, very badly. If I need to be offended, then God offend me. Show me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But every reason here to judge your nation. But you know, the altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place of death. It's a place of complete surrender to the will of God. In the Old Testament, it was a place of complete surrender. That animal that was offered on the altar. I mean, if an animal didn't have the reasoning ability that humans have, I'm glad they don't. Still don't, if you're wondering that. But they were laid on that altar, and they were going to have their throat cut, and they were going to spill blood. You say, well, you don't preach that today. Yes, I do. Amen. And Jesus was offered up on the altar, the cross, the last real altar. His blood was spilled, because it was not the blood in the veins that atoned for sin, but the blood that was poured out. The altar of sacrifice that atoned for sin. That's what Jesus did for us. Amen. So judgment awaits unless there is a repentance. And God has given us a space to repent. And He tells the faithful here at this church, He said, hold fast what you have. Remain steadfast in the faith. Remain focused on Christ. Don't compromise for the truth for anything. Because reward awaits the faithful. Just be faithful to God. Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Praise the Lord. Judgment's all that waits a corrupt church, nation, and individual. But mercy, love, and hope awaits those who are faithful to God. Amen. Space to repent? Yes. God has granted that.